This hour is brought to you by Alpine Credits. Do you own your home and need a loan? Alpine Credits can help. Visit alpinecredits.ca to learn more.
Returns to TSN 1050. Tonight,
the Raptors take on the Orlando Magic.
Tip off at 8 on TSN 1050. Your NBA champion Raptors live here. This is Overdrive with Hayes, Noodles, and the O-Dog on TSN 1050.
Hour 2 Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 on the TSN app, your home smart speaker, and up on TSN 4. Brian Hayes, the O-Dog, Jeff O'Neill, Jamie Noodles McLennan. Got some Jerry's percentages later in the hour. Ray Ferraro will join us as well, our hockey analyst, in about 5 minutes. The Raptors are in action tonight down in Orlando. Another slate of tests came out today, or the results of testing, and no positives. So that bubble, man, it has been intact. COVID has not penetrated that bubble down in Orlando.
Do you not think Bobby Manns is just looking at both the bubbles thinking, I dropped the ball here? Or is baseball a different animal? He couldn't do it.
They could do it. Like, they could obviously do it. It would not be an impossibility. But they wasted too much time, you know, complaining and arguing over dollars and cents.
Yeah, the CBA.
Yeah, exactly. They should have been thinking about the plant and the CBA. And the NFL is going to run into the same problem. Like, the NFL has had a longer runway than anyone else to figure out their plan, right? Like, their season never got stopped. Everything is on pace to start in September, but you have had the better part of 5 months to figure out what you're going to do, and it kind of sounds like they're just going to do what baseball's been doing, maybe a little bit more testing, and maybe because the schedule is different, not as many road games, they can find a way to contain it. But, yeah, I would say baseball, they must have regrets. Like, it just feels goofy. It feels wrong. It feels off. You know, there's just too many teams that haven't played, and it's difficult to track. Like, the scheduling, the standings, it's really been a sour start. Let's put it that way.
Did I read, am I wrong on this, that they were looking at trying to have maybe double headers of like seven innings and stuff. They were trying to be creative, correct?
Yes.
Because to try and get these games going back in. And I listen, Rob Manfred doesn't deserve the benefit of the doubt by all accounts, but like, this isn't just on him. This is on the players. This is on the Players Association. This is on everyone involved in this disaster, you know. And you're right, the bubbles in both other sports, in hockey and NBA, you know, those leagues deserve a ton of credit. I was thinking about it today, the NHL in particular, just because, you know, we're right in the middle of you know, with the Leafs and everything. Like, the NHL's done a fantastic job, like fantastic job of not only the presentation of what we're watching, but getting everyone to buy in, making sure the testing. But I think they put it in the right spots, and I think they were waiting for Toronto, for the numbers to come down, for, you know, the scenario to be a lot better, put it that way, until, you know, and now you could have Toronto, now you've got Edmonton. If they had it, let's say, in Vegas, and you had both hubs out west, it would feel and look a lot different, don't you think?
Yeah, I do wonder about that with the scheduling, right? Like, are you going to play 9 a.m. games in Vegas or in Edmonton or whatever?
Right.
How's
that
going to work? How would that have been fair? It turned out, it worked out the way it should have worked out. One hub in the east, one hub in the west, both in Canada. Both cities have COVID somewhat under control, certainly compared to a lot of the big cities down in the States.
Correct, correct.
So once you get in and everyone's clear, you have to have faith in the infrastructure. You have to have faith in the people involved. But by all accounts, everyone has taken it seriously. Everyone has bought in. And we've already got a team left, right? The Rangers left this morning. They're out. And by the end of the weekend, there's going to be seven more teams behind them.
They said, Brian, I think part of the plan was once you're eliminated, leave quickly. What do you think that meant for the Rangers? Like, first thing this morning, get your ass out of there?
I would guess.
They would have had their charter booked last night after they lost. That's up to the team services. Team services, at when they're down 2-0, unfortunately, their job is to, you know, prepare all scenarios, and they would have said, okay, if we end up losing game 3, I want the bird at 9 a.m., you know, ready to rock back to New York. We've got to figure out what we're going to do. A guy like Ryan Strome's from here, and I believe he just had a baby. Like, he's not going back to New York. I think, you know, guys are just trying to figure out to get home, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, he would probably just leave the bubble and drive. I think he's from north of Toronto, is he not? Is he from Richmond Hill or something?
He's from, like, Markham or something. He's a GTA guy.
Could they have just left the bubble last night and said, I'm going to go destroy Toronto and get my own hotel room and I'm out of here? Or what?
What are you destroying in Toronto right now?
No, I mean, like, having a good time. I don't know. They could have gone out and got plastered somewhere.
There's patios open, I guess. And yeah, I maybe they could have. I'm not sure. I mean,
I don't think so. My understanding is that they were to – I thought I read this last night. They were to adhere to the bubble rules until this morning. And it was quite, you know – driven home that you can't be just leaving the bubble and, you know, this guy's leaving this. I think as a team, they had to stay in the bubble till this morning and exit as a team. I could be wrong on that. I thought I read
that would make
night,
sense
though.
Because you don't want to start making exceptions. Like, this guy can go, that guy can go.
Right.
No, I would have left and never came back. If I was a Toronto guy, I would have said, smell you later. I'm going out tonight.
Yeah, that's fair.
Bye.
But you better make sure not to even go look at that bubble, because you don't want to compromise. Can you imagine, like, you know, some jackass goes out last night and decides to fumble home into the bubble and try to get through at 3 o'clock in the morning, 4 o'clock in the morning, and bring something into the bubble? Like, that would be – that's a
well,
problem.
They'd never let – no one's shown up at 3 in the morning outside of the bubble gooned saying, hey, can I come back
in? If you're credentialed, like, that, all I'm saying is, you know, you're credentialed, like –
I still don't think – I think that's, you know, it's probably a tough sell, I would assume.
It is. You're right. Joining
us now on the Maple Toyota Hotline here is Ray Ferraro. What would have been your mood if you were the Rangers yesterday and you lose and then you're told you have to stay in the bubble until the next day? How happy would you have been?
I don't know. I mean, at that point, you know, like, you know, you're – man, it's one more night. What difference does it make, right?
Yeah.
Like, just – go home in the morning. I would have had more of a problem if the night before the game, if we had eight guys playing Fortnite till 3 in the morning. I'd be like, guys, really, are we checking out already?
Right.
Like, yeah. You know, like, can we stay in the game a little bit here? But after it's over, like, what does it matter?
Right?
Like, one more day.
That would be the concern, is not that they leave the bubble, that they stay in the bubble and they turn into, like, Guns N' Roses on the road in 89 and just turn the Royal York upside down. Like, that would be a bigger concern, because you'd have teams that are playing today, right? So,
right.
You know, like, teams that are in that building that are playing today, and all of a sudden you hear stories that, like, Panarin is – just putting on a clinic, you know, a floor above you. It's 4:30 in the morning.
What if somebody pulls a Tom Hanks, like that airport movie, and just says, I'm staying in here, I'm watching all the games, and I'm just staying in the bubble.
Yeah.
Yeah, they've got a better setup than I've got at home, so I'm staying here.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know, this will date me a little bit, but when the Lake Placid Olympics were going on, Eric Heiden won 5 gold medals. And the night before his 5th race was the day that the U.S. beat the Soviet Union in hockey. So I guess it was an all-night rager in that town. And if you've ever been to Lake Placid, it's like the whole town is like fits in the block around the Royal York. Like, there's nothing there. So the dorms were right next door to the rink, which was right next door to the track. He had to skate at 10 in the morning. And he ended up winning again. Like, but could you imagine, you're in there and you'd be like, I wish the entire world would shut up.
That's
like, trying to go to sleep, man. No chance.
We've talked to athletes who have been in the village, and when their event is like day 13, it is the most difficult thing to focus on.
Oh, yeah.
Because you're like, and that happens. Like, you get the schedule, you're like, oh, great. Like, pole vault is day 12. Like, there's going to be guys done in 24 hours that are going to be absolutely destroyed for 10 days straight.
You get a German shot putter who competes on day one and wins the gold and decides to party there for 2 weeks.
He will be grunting and groaning for 2 weeks.
The beer market is opening. It'll be Munich in October. It's Oktoberfest right outside your door. You're trying to prepare for the biggest moment of your life. and some hooligan is drinking pint after pint. That would be
and
so
having
difficult.
An orgy in his room.
Oh, yeah. That is famous around there in the Olympic Village. Famous. Yeah,
I would say that's not happening in the bubble.
No, I'm pretty sure it's not.
A little tougher.
I would say it's probably a little bit more difficult. So the Leafs, I guess, just practiced and they're just talking. And I think we knew this was coming, but Martin Marincin will go in for Jake Muzzin. And I every once in a while I stop and think, how is Martin Marincin still in this town? Like, how is he still a Maple Leaf? He's been here for like 5 years. But the explanation was he's got size and he kills penalties. And he
makes $700,000.
And he makes a cheap amount of cash. And if you're replacing a guy like Muzzin, you're going to replace him with someone that is a poor man's Jake Muzzin. You're not necessarily going to put in a guy like Rasmus Sandin. So I can't say I'm surprised that Marincin's going to go in for game three.
No, me neither. I mean, if it was a different player, maybe it would be Sandin. But Marincin is, they're going to need somebody to do just as you said. You know, they're going to need somebody to look after a defensive role and a penalty-killing role, and he's their best choice. He's got experience, and it's kind of crazy because, as I'm thinking about it, it's like the media and the fans, like, they're liable to get a little worked up about Marincin, and the guys love him. Like, they really like him.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
They have confidence that he will do the job for them. And I don't know this, but I would assume that Sandin would be pretty nervous to go in tomorrow. To, all of a sudden, because it's not like you can just hide him. They need whoever this guy is to play what will be maybe not significant minutes, but like in total, but significant minutes because they're going to be against good players. Like, you're not all of a sudden going to play Tyson Barrie 26 minutes or Travis Dermott another 10 minutes, right? Like, these are minutes against good players.
Yep. Well, and you got to expect a response from Columbus. I mean, they did not have much yesterday, and I think a lot of that was the Maple Leafs just decided we're not going to have it this afternoon. Like, it's not going to happen. We're winning this game.
You think, Ray,
well, that
you
noted philosopher
question?
Said, hey, the noted philosopher said Toronto was good and we sucked.
Yep. Torts hit the nail on the head.
He wasn't wrong. Like,
he was right on it for sure.
And he shoots from the hip, too. I kind of, like, I don't know. I like the way that he conducts business. Like, that Dubois, he was giving him an earful, but what does he do? He puts him right back out there, right? Like,
that's his best forward, too, give or take. Yeah. I mean, that's consistency, I'll say that. That's like Belichick yelling at Brady, in a way. Yeah. Right?
And he took, like, he's given it to him, yet he has clearly the latitude, not all the time, and probably not with all the guys, but Dubois wasn't exactly sitting there nodding his head.
Yeah.
And Torts is like, yeah, whatever, he's fired up. Okay, fine, we'll go be better because we suck right now. And I'm pretty sure that, I've had one of those before and it didn't turn out very well for me. But the coach, who was Al Arbor, said, okay, we're done, finished, don't do it again. That was after the game, I apologized and I said, it'll never happen again. And he's like, you're effing right, it's not going to happen again.
So you were yelling back at him? Like, did he start yelling at you and then you went back at him? That's
well,
what happened?
This what we were. It was in a playoff game and he moved the defenseman in an offensive zone faceoff behind me. I thought he was to my left. And Ronnie Francis was taking the draw. And he saw that there was no D on the left point, so he just pushed it forward, and I think it was Joey Mullen, went and got it and scored. And I came back to the bench, and I'm like, who the F moved the defenseman? What the F is going on out there? Blah, 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 blah. And Al came down, and he's like, I moved the D. Maybe you should look around. And he didn't say it like that either. And, I mean, he was on me. And I turned around, and I was like, blah, blah, blah. And then he benched me for the last 7 minutes of the game. And after the game, I apologized, and that's when he said, you're right, it won't happen again.
Interesting. Yeah, that I didn't. I reading lips. It sounded like it was more of an FU kind of moment with Torts and Dubois. I'm sure Tortorella was yelling, you know, let's go, snap out of it, whatever you're doing.
Well,
it's not
was
good
that,
enough.
The Matthews goal was he was changing.
Right.
Like, did you see? Like, I mean, it was a lazy play by him, and Torts let him know. That's what I took out of it.
Yeah, that, I guess that would be the read on it. And Tortorella, though, to his credit, like you just said, Ray, it just like right afterwards, he's like, okay, moving on. What are we doing here? Like looking back
on the
ice.
Well, if you noticed that the video on it, like as I'm sure you guys did, was like, so he's barking at him, and then he walks away two steps. And then he turns around and goes back like something else popped into his
right.
head. He was not done at that
and
moment.
Another, yeah, and another thing. Like, like that's – Daryl Sutter was the same way. He people think he was this, you know, this grizzled, hardened coach all the time. He just knew what buttons to press at the right time. And if he waited on a night like this where Columbus wasn't going, a top player maybe took a poor route or cheated a little bit, then he exploded on him, but he also he exploded on him for that play, but he probably had five other plays in his mind that was like, oh, and by the way, I saw what you did here. I saw what you did there. Like, you know, letting him know, like, I'm not letting you off the hook. But, you know, to Torts' credit and what Sutter was all about, that guy is his top guy, and he's back on the ice or back in critical situations to give him another opportunity to make it right. And, you know, that's how
Corbin – And won't bury him publicly either.
No,
like, that's a
no,
big
no.
part of it. I'm allowed to yell and scream, but I'm not saying anything to you clowns out there in the media or whatever
I think that changed after the – who was the goal? Was it Mike Smith in Tampa? No,
yeah.
John Graham.
You need a
John
save?
John Graham. Yeah, I need a save. Like, after that, he's kind of not – it's like he's changed a bit, not the single – anyone in particular out, but mm-hmm. What I saw yesterday was the like Columbus wasn't even close.
Yeah,
and I'd be interested, and I hope it happens. I hope Columbus plays like they did in game one, and Toronto plays like they did in game two. Like the best of both teams. I'd love to see that game.
Yeah, well,
because that hasn't happened. You know, they haven't. Neither, I guess, Toronto was nearer their game in game one than Columbus was in game two, but I'd like to see that.
Yeah, and I think you're going to get it over the next two games at some point, right? Like, I don't know if it'll be game three, maybe it'll be game four, or it'll be a period back and forth.
Right.
I think they're both clearly respectful of each other. They're both confident. They should be. You know, like, I think they both deserve to have some confidence that they can win the series. But you look at the Leafs yesterday, that's about as well as they can play. And they were on it right from the hop. And full credit to Tavares, Marner, we called them out. Everyone called them out for game one and the way they performed. It really stepped up yesterday. And we were talking about this in the 4 p.m. hour that, you know, over the last couple of years, since Tavares got here, like when Tavares signed, the first thing that people connected to was Tavares and Matthews, that 1-2 punch that Pittsburgh's had for 12 or 13 years, that Edmonton has now. That we saw even when the Kings were humming, it was Carter and Kopitar, right? Like, it was just a 1-2 beast matchup where maybe that top pairing can shut down one, but the other guy's chugging, so good luck. And we haven't seen it consistently over the 2 years, but we saw it last night, right? And that is still the blueprint of this team, is Matthews and Tavares up the middle of the ice, and pick your poison, and if they're both playing up to their capabilities, it's a very difficult matchup for any team they go up against.
Well, how are you going to – when you think of it that way, like, if they're both rolling along, it's very unlikely that the other team, only in a few cases, can they match up with those guys, right? Like, you mentioned Crosby and Malkin. Like, how many other teams have two centers that can match up like that if they're both going? And I thought Tavares yesterday was awesome. He could have had five goals.
Yep.
Like,
yeah.
Like, not only did he have, I don't know what he ended up shot-wise, but he had four or five, like, grade A 15-foot out chances.
Yeah.
And, you know, I just thought that, like, he looked like he had a little extra zip to him. And some of that is the guys around him, I think, played better as well, because he needs the speed to help him along. And if he gets a little speed on the wings and, you know, those guys are going, whomever it might be, then that gives him just a little bit more room, maybe a little bit more leeway to move around. And, man, he made some good plays. He had some really good chances. And, and those two guys are, man, they're hard to play against. Look how quickly Matthews took a defensive zone, rebound and turned it into a goal. That's pretty impressive.
Yep, turn up ice and get moving. And I wasn't expecting the flip of Marner and Nylander until we saw it before the game started, in the pregame warm-up. Right. And I would assume they'll stick with that. But I guess it's a button that Sheldon Keefe can push. And that's the thin line between, coaching and panicking. Which one is it? After one game, an adjustment like that. When it works for you, it's great coaching. When it doesn't, it's a panic. Why didn't you stick with what you thought was going to work in game one?
Right.
Except that's what you lose game one. You've got a chance to adjust for game two. Columbus loses game two. Now they've got a chance to adjust for game three. I'm watching Vancouver. They fell flat in game one. And, Travis Green had to make some adjustments, some of them for injury with Toffoli and to a certain extent Gaudette. But he had to make adjustments because they didn't score. And they look like a completely different team in game two.
Right.
Again, those two series have mirrored each other pretty closely.
Vancouver was
it turned out 4-3, but man, that wasn't even close for a long part of the game. Noodles, would that last one have counted?
I don't know.
What was Markstrom doing?
I don't know. I liked this game, but then I didn't like the Kunin goal. I thought the Kunin goal kind of opened up, he was very solid, and then that short side Kunin goal, I was like, all right, now what's going to go on here? Because the team is a little bit fragile. I think Vancouver on the best of days struggle with the details. And, they deserve to win. Their top players played great. But, I don't know. Markstrom, he made it close, put it that way. And I thought he was pretty solid last night. I liked this game, but, yeah, I agree. A little too close for comfort.
I walked into where my camera setup is to do the hit for SportsCenter, which is right after the game. And Cammy texted me and said, it's 4-3 now. I'm like, what?
Yeah, I know.
I go,
how much
time left? She's 8 seconds. And then she sent a text and she's like, you got to come in here. So I ran in there for 5 seconds. I thought they scored again and I saw the shot and I'm like, what was that?
Yeah.
And then I ran back in. That would have been a very Canucky thing to do.
Ooh, that would not have gone over well in that market.
Yeah,
no.
They allowed him back in. Yeah, but,
it's a response, right? And it's the
right,
big players, too. You watch it, Pettersson, it's Quinn
Miller.
Hughes, it's Bo Horvat, it's Miller. That has been the story of the first 5 days into the bubble, is the big boys are stepping up. Look at Carolina. We were talking to Justin Williams in the last hour. Svechnikov and Aho, they have arrived. I think Aho had already arrived. Svechnikov looks like a guy that went second overall in the draft. He looks like a stud. He looks like a guy that you can build around. And
Brian, Rod Brindamore seems to push most of the right buttons all the time there, and he moves his lines around. He makes adjustments. And I watched earlier today, Florida, Joel Quenneville changed 5 of his 18 skaters, and maybe there was some desperation in that, but the playoff, the short series is nobody can wait. It's okay, you lose a game, or you're going to make an adjustment. What's the adjustment going to be? How much of an adjustment? And in each game we've seen, the adjustments get made, but the team that wins is generally the one, so far anyway, where the best guys have been better than the other team's best guys. And that doesn't always happen, but that's kind of what it's looked like so far.
Yeah.
Well, and we go into a couple of big games tonight, right? Like the Habs in Pittsburgh tied at 1, Edmonton and Chicago tied at 1. And I think Pittsburgh has consistently been better over 2 games.
But
Carey Price has just been incredible. And if he plays like that again, I would expect another close game. I think Pittsburgh's going to win this series. Edmonton-Chicago is still, to me, I would lean Edmonton, and that's where I was leaning before the series started. But tale of two teams through 2 games. And Edmonton and Toronto are a lot alike, and Vancouver. I have no idea what to predict for game 3 from these teams.
And Brian, and Ray, as if one thing is consistent through all of this, you just said it, Brian, it's tough to predict how teams are going to react and how they're going to play, because it's almost been Jekyll and Hyde.
Mm-hmm.
When you watch, Edmonton was the same way. I think the Leafs were a little bit stunned in that first game, and Columbus got to their game plan and implemented. That was it. You know, the Leafs are going to play hopefully closer to how they played last night than game one tomorrow, and you got to find that way. Winnipeg is, I mean, they're just patchwork. Paul Maurice
is they're
just,
in trouble.
They're in trouble there. I mean, they're going to need Hellebuck to stand on his head and steal a game. But, you know, all the other series, like, for me, are coin flips, like legitimate coin flips. You know, Arizona just won, but Kemper made 39 saves, and Saros wasn't great. Like, you know, I didn't pick Arizona to win that series, but all of a sudden they're on the cusp. You know, Edmonton, what are you going to get from Edmonton? You know, to me, Draisaitl hasn't been very good yet.
No, I'm with you. Like, I'm waiting. That would scare me if I was Chicago, because I think McDavid has shown up, and he showed up a couple of nights ago. But Draisaitl's still, he's there, but and he's still impactful enough to pick up a few points. But he can dominate just like anyone else on that ice.
I mean, what are the chances tonight's games are 3-1 Pittsburgh and 8-6 somebody?
I could see that.
8-6, yeah. I agree.
I could totally see that.
I think that Edmonton game is going to be high scoring, and I fear that the Pittsburgh game is going to be high score. Like, you start wearing Price down.
It better not be high scoring, Noodles. It better not be high scoring if you're a Montreal fan.
No, it can't be.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, I think there's a point where Montreal has to kind of wake up in front. That Jonathan Drouin should just be wearing a Pittsburgh jersey.
He's just cruising around, isn't he? Doesn't he loves just going for a cruise every once in a while. When he gets going, he's such a talent.
He's a fantastic player, but he's had to pay $4 for public skating, $2 a night. And and you know what? They've had way too many passengers. Joel Armia was terrible last game. He took 3 penalties in a row. Like, they're just doing everything they can to pile on Carey.
Not only did he take the penalties, but then he let Crosby go on the first goal. That was one of those games you're like, I hope they never show me video from this game again. Like, I hope they just burn it.
He was with Sid. I mean, keeping up with Sid is not an easy thing to do, but he was with them. Like, around the red line, he was with them. And then he saw the parting of the sea, and he's like, I'm going to pretend like I'm reading the play.
That's it. You remember the point. He was trying to tell the D, like, hey, this guy's coming
because
I don't got the legs to get back in there. It's unfortunate, like, if you're a Habs fan, but they've been right there.
They're 1-1.
Yeah, I expect more out of their big boys, Tatar, Gallagher, Drouin, Domi. I thought Domi had a little bit more. I think Julian's trying to find him some ice time. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if they can do that. Because let's not forget, I think Matt Murray was really good last game, too. I don't know if you watched the game.
He made some good saves. I think they need to try to make it an uglier kind of street brawl
type
of game.
But I don't know if they have that in them, Brian.
Not the conventional way. I guess you're right. But I look at a guy like Domi. Like, Domi, when he's playing well, he's agitating. And
he's engaged.
He's smirking at guys, and he's blowing kisses. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's – same thing with Gallagher. Like, Gallagher's crashing the crease. He hasn't done it once in 2 games that I've seen, where that's where he lives. You know, he's in Murray's cage, and he's in his kitchen, and he's like, I'm coming in hot all night. And that's what they've got to do, I think, to try to trigger something out of Pittsburgh that will maybe raise some sort of animosity.
Yeah, get a reaction.
Right.
Yeah, it you're right. It needs to be a different game there for sure.
Yeah, but we'll see. I mean, it's 1-1, and it's game 3 tonight, Edmonton and Montreal. I thought O brought the heat here. O was outstanding this segment, and he's raring to go for Jerry's percentages. Yeah, we're having some technical issues, in case you were wondering, Ray. He didn't check out.
Well, I did wonder, man, did he check out here? That was impressive.
We're trying to get this thing back on the rails. So we'll see where he's at. Hopefully he can join us again. But enjoy the games tonight, buddy, and we'll do it again tomorrow at 5 o'clock.
Talk to you then, boys. Later.
There's Ray Ferraro, TSN hockey analyst, joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. The showroom is open. So get yourself up to Maple Toyota right next to Wonderland, or buy online at MapleToyota.com. So, yeah, we're working on the wheels are in motion here on the O-Dog. We don't know what's going on with his system, but it happens. And it's been long overdue. We haven't had, you know, one of the three of us completely drop out in a
while.
He's
frustrated. I don't know if you saw, he sent the video of what's going on there on the internal text.
Oh, really?
He's not happy. But it is what it is. We'll get him back up and running.
Yeah, we'll get him back up and running. We'll get him back. Dreg's coming up. Josh Lewenberg into the 6 p.m. hour. Jerry's percentages as well. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on the TSN app.
You're going to want to hear this.
Jerry's percentages.
I don't love being commissioner as much as I used to. I actually love it even more.
That's the voice of a
Hall of Famer.
Are you kidding? Have you been out drinking?
Jerry! You're all pigeons. Filthy, filthy pigeons.
It's Jerry. G-E-R-R-Y.
Jerry's Percentages is brought to you by BPC, Best Portuguese Chicken, from two people to 300. Let BPC, Best Portuguese Chicken, do the cooking. Head on down to 942 on the Queensway or online at bestpc.ca. So a little bit of technical difficulties on our end, and that's fine. But, Noodles, you and I were here. The O-Dog, I believe, will be back at some point. Hopefully
he
will.
I think it's in the works.
Yes, people are putting their minds together to make this happen, okay? So the O-Dog will be back at some point, but the show must go on. And Jerry is waiting, and he won't wait for anyone, quite frankly.
Exactly.
I mean, he wants to get rocking here. So I believe we have an opening statement from Jerry and maybe right into the hot takes. I'm not sure how this is built, but let's see what Jerry is up to this week.
Watching all these live sports has Jerry feeling like a kid in a candy store. Or maybe it's more like a Bobby Kraft in a parlor. So wasting my time on this abomination of a show was even more annoying than ever. So let's do this.
Okay. A kid in a candy store and Bobby Kraft. Poor Bob Kraft. Man, does he get dragged by Jerry. It seems like a weekly occurrence now. It's got to stop.
Takes a lot. Yeah, taking a lot of heat.
Yeah,
leave
him
alone. That's all right, though.
All right, so he's distracted. He's got bigger and better things to do. He doesn't really want to be on the show, so we're going to stop wasting his time. Let's get right to the hot takes from Jerry.
The Maple Leafs will break out for four or more goals against Columbus in Game 3.
Four or more tomorrow night. That is a big, big call, a pretty spicy hot take from Geraldo. What do you think about that, Noodles?
I could see it. You know, certainly they've generated enough chances over both games, and there's no guarantee that Corpusello is going to be that dialed in. I keep talking about, you know, this league shouldn't be hockey. It should just be called goalie, because if you get good goaltending, you see the teams win. Like Reimer, the reason why Carolina beat the Rangers yesterday was Reimer was brilliant, and he was brilliant at the right time. You know, the reason that game was close yesterday between the Leafs and Columbus was Corpusello was brilliant. Same thing in Price with Pittsburgh. Like, if Corpusello is average or below and the Leafs generate that type of chances, you're looking at a four spot or more.
Yeah.
So I'm going to be over 50%. I'm close, but like it's a coin toss, but I'll say 55% because they can do it. It's
Of course, they can do it. I mean, I think it's been a tightly checked game. I will say, I wouldn't be shocked if Corpusello starts to leak a little bit. You know, like he's been so good, and it's like, all right, guys, I can't make all these grade A stops, you know, every single game. But it has been, you know, yesterday was a completely different game than Game 1, but I think it's going to get closer to Game 1. You know, I don't think the Leafs are going to dominate in the same fashion. I think Columbus will have a response. I think Columbus will try to react, look at the tape, try to shut things down. Tortorella will try to get it to be even more of a slowly paced game.
Yeah.
So I'm going to say 40%. Four is not, it's not a ton of goals, you know, like it's more than the league average for your any given game, any given night. But I could see a 3-2 game tomorrow. And I think the Leafs are going to have the upper hand, but I'll say 40%.
All right.
Let's go, Jerry.
Pretty boy Tom Brady finishes top five in MVP voting this season. Giselle is Jerry's not-so-secret admirer. So keep your head on a swivel, Tom, or Jerry will swoop right in and do you-know-what.
Okay, there it is. Jerry and Giselle. It's got a nice ring to it. I like that.
Yeah.
Top five in the MVP. I saw a tweet a couple of days ago that is just so infuriating to me because it's so ridiculous. This idea that everyone down in Bucks camp is like whispering to themselves. They can't believe the pocket command of Tom Brady and how he commands a huddle and how, you know, crisp his passing is. It's Tom Brady. Like, what right. did you expect? You know, like, I would see that if that happened with Teddy Bridgewater in Carolina, where they're like, right. wow, I didn't know he was this good. You know, I didn't know his attitude. I didn't know his mood. What did they think they were getting in Tampa? Like, you're right. getting the greatest quarterback of all time. Who would possibly have more stability in a huddle than Tom Brady?
You'd be more shocked if the whispers were like, this guy is out to lunch.
Exactly. That's a story. That's a scoop that he's kind of unprepared. He's a right. little bit aloof. He doesn't know what he's doing.
Right.
Like this idea that guys are like, wow, did you see that? What a pass. Yeah, of course. It's Tom Brady.
Right.
But top five, I don't know. I mean, yeah. If they win a lot of games, he's going to get all the love, you would think, down in Tampa, right? If they turn it around, make it back to the playoffs for the first time in years, that sets up for MVP votes. And his age will factor in. If he puts up like 4,000 yards, 30, 35 touchdowns, doesn't throw a lot of picks, he'll get love. So from that standpoint, I'm talking myself more into this. I'll say top five MVP votes, 65% for Brady.
I'm low on this. So just refresh me because you are my NFL guru. Mm-hmm. How good do you think his team will be? Like just
I think they got the chance to be very good, somewhere between good and very good. I think at a minimum they're an 8-8 team.
I was going to say 8-8, 9-7. So okay, so if they're 8-8, 9-7, I'm low on this because it almost seems like Mahomes is going to be a lock. Right? Like, you know what I mean? Like, just you could probably name a 3 or 4 pack that are probably going to be a lock just based on reputation and what they're capable of right now.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Jackson, Wilson.
Okay. So now you've got 3 or 4 guys that are just going to be the locks because that's how they are. There's always one surprise person. Now, is it, I'm drawing a blank. New England just got him as a quarterback.
Well, Cam Newton, maybe. Does Aaron Rodgers bounce back? Right.
Does
Deshaun
Rodgers,
Watson crush?
That's what I'm saying. I'm 18%. I'm low on this because I think there's just other storylines in the NFL. You're right. If he's 8-8 or 9-7 and has some good numbers.
He's not getting anywhere close to top five if he's 8-8 or 9-7. But if they're, 12-4, 13-3, and he's the reason they've turned it around, he's going to get a ton of votes.
Correct.
But you're right. Just, 8-8, not happening, for sure.
I just see other storylines in the NFL.
I hear you. I think we've got the O-Dog back. Is that what I'm hearing, and am I hearing that correctly?
I had some professional behind-the-scenes people asking me if I had Wi-Fi. Do you have Wi-Fi?
That's what they thought the issue was, not having Wi-Fi in 2020.
No, do you have Wi-Fi? I've done 700 shows from this house, and you have to have Wi-Fi. Do you have Wi-Fi?
I think
one of you donkeys asked me once, have you paid your bill?
That was early into quarantine.
Answer is 85% to this question.
Okay.
What you guys have not mentioned is the new team on the block. They're going to get so much pub this year with Brady coming to Tampa. And if they have the season, that's all anyone's going to talk about, how Tom Brady turned around the Tampa Bay Bucks. And I think 8-8 is preposterous. They're going to have a way better record than that. 85%, he's in the top five voting.
Okay, I like it. Back with some heat. Let's see what else Jerry has.
Connor McDavid will win a Rocket Richard at least once in his career. Jerry might have to rename that after an American player someday. Maybe the Brett Hull Trophy. Anything American.
Okay. McDavid, this feels like what we were saying about Sid kind of early in his career.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
And what did Sid do?
He got one, right? Yeah. I believe he got one. Maybe he tied 1 year, but I think he got one outright. And I think it's a borderline lock. I think
it's 100%.
2017.
Yeah,
100%. It's he already won one.
No,
Sidney did. Sidney got it in 2017. He had 44 goals, and I agree where both of you guys are going. Like, he's going to have a season where everything he touches goes in the net. Plus, he's going to focus on it, too. It's 100%.
I'm going to say 100%. 100%.
Yeah, it's like these players of this talent level, they have a little checklist. It's like, oh, my goal scoring's not up to par. Sidney Crosby was like, I want to win a Rocket. My faceoff's got to get better. They just start checking things off their list. 100%. The guy, how many times does he get in alone a game? And everyone knows it's coming. It's three or four times.
Look what he can do, man. Like that goal he scored the other night, that second goal, is one of the most outrageous goals I've ever seen in my life.
He was playing handball in the neutral zone and then put it on a stick and then roofed it backhand.
To roof it, though, like that was a backhand roof, I believe, too, wasn't it?
It was.
Like,
it was a backhand chip underneath the bar. Like it hit the netting underneath the bar.
Yeah, that
it was ridiculous.
So tough to do. And he's, 1 year just every, like he's going to score 12 breakaways. He'll have 8 empty net goals. And then he'll score 58 in a season and he'll win it.
And guys, I'm wrong on this. Sidney Crosby's got it twice, 2010 and 2017. 2010, he had 51 goals.
Oh, I thought he tied 1 year. But
He tied. He tied Stamkos.
Yeah.
That's 2010, that year.
Still, they all count. So there you go. Sid's got a couple, and not that you shoot down Sid's accomplishments. I mean, he is who he is. But I think 100. McDavid will get there too. Are we all on 100% on that?
We're all 100. Yeah.
Okay. Let's see what else Jerry has.
Tiger Woods will chop it all over Harding Park and miss the cut this weekend. And if he misses the cut, you know what goes down in San Fran. Hanky, panky.
Are there Perkins Diners in San Fran?
He will be one horny little devil roaming around San Fran.
He will find a spot of Perkins somewhere right on the bay, around the harbor, and it is go time for Tiger. Jerry's got him missing the cut.
Wow. That's tough.
I think major championship. You would think he would just be practicing his – he hasn't been playing. Who knows what kind of game he's going to bring. I say 5% he misses the cut. 5%, I think.
I
just
be higher than that. I mean, I hear you. Like, it's Tiger. It's the aura of Tiger. But you just said it, man. He hasn't been playing. He's changed his putter for some reason. He's not using his usual Scotty Cameron. So he's worried. Something's in his head about the way he's putting, which concerns me. Everything I'm hearing about the way this is built, it is a bomber's park, and he can still bomb it, but he's not up there with DeChambeau and Koepka and Rory and the boys. So can he keep it in the fairway, and can he putt? I'm going to say 20% he misses the cut. I wouldn't be shocked. He just barely made it at the Memorial. He snuck
in. I'll bet you $100 he makes the cut.
I'm not there. Dude, I think he's going to make it. I just said 20% he won't. Like, I still think that's 80% he will. That's not a bet.
Okay, I'll bet you
100.
I'll bet you 100 he misses.
Okay. Talk later. We still want to get to our draft later. Like, just relax over there. All right, Noodles, quick. I'm the tap man here. Quick. We got to go.
I'm lower. I say 12%.
Okay. Yeah, we're all pretty low on that. I hope Tiger makes it all the way through the weekend. If he's in contention, think about the sports weekend we're going to have.
Oh, exactly. Man. Sunday red.
Yeah. I love it. And prime time, right? Because they're out on the West Coast. So even better.
Dialed.
Yeah, it'll be outstanding. All right, Lewenberg coming up. Darren Dreger as well. We'll get into our PGA Championship draft. We'll do that this afternoon. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on TSN 4. All right, final hour coming up. Radio only, TSN Radio, TSN1050.cn, the TSN app. Don't forget to set your PVRs, though, on TSN 4. Day in, day out. If you can't watch the show live, you can watch it later. Or you can find everything podcasted online and on iTunes, Spotify, everywhere you find your podcast. Download, subscribe, the whole nine. Overdrive, First Up, Leafs Lunch, Matty Cause, everyone here on TSN Radio. So we got Dregs coming up, Josh Lewenberg. The Raptors are in action tonight. We've got another Jerry's After Dark. We've got a PGA Championship draft. We got a lot to get in here.
Yeah.
For a final hour.
Gotta weigh in. I actually wanted to ask you guys, do you ever mix your dinner selection? We've been at home quite a bit, so you know, you're making dinner and you just feel like I had eggs and corn on the cob the other day.
That you know what that reminds me of is when my wife was pregnant. She'd have like toast and corn. It's like Nacho Libre. I was living with Nacho Libre.
Well, corn on the cob, like I was, there was no protein, so I made myself an egg white omelet, but then there was corn on the cob on the stove. So I'm like, all right, I'll throw a few cobs on the plate.
No, that's, you're starting, I'm worried about you, man. You're losing it over there.
You need to leave the house.
I've left the house. I've left the house every day. Like I get out, I just not at the studio, but I'm just saying, like, you guys don't mix the dinner selection ever?
No, I keep it very straight and narrow.
Very tight? Really?
Yes, high and tight. I just corn with eggs is the weirdest combination.
Well,
corn
on the cob.
If you look and you got no options, it's either order in or I'm firing something out of the freezer, defrosting it in a bowl, and when it's ready to go, I'm firing it on the barbecue, and that's it. Like, that's what I'm doing. Mm-hmm. I'm not mixing and matching any kind of nonsense like
no.
that.
No, me neither. I'm not doing
mind,
it.
I don't mind going through the fridge and just seeing what's available. And then,
no, I could do a full breakfast at 8 o'clock at night. I don't care.
So
I'll
can
do bacon
I.
And
I have,
eggs.
Yeah, I have no problem with waffles at night and that type of stuff. Like, but I, you know, a lot of times we'll have breakfast for dinner, you know, hash browns, an omelet with some toast or something like that. But I've, you know, I did the omelet. I did the egg white omelet, egg and cheese, but there was
just
no other.
Corn on the cob.
A couple of corn on the cobs. Oh, yeah, actually, was fantastic.
Okay, then go back. Double down.
No,
it's your life. You do whatever you got to do to get by, Noodles.
We're
all just trying to survive.
Doing.
Josh Lumberg, Darren Dreger coming up. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on the TSN app.
Alpine Credits.
Yes, it's your English teacher, Mrs. Nelson.
Uh-oh.
You've been using the word approved quite a lot lately.
True, but...
You know there are alternatives like accepted, authorized, confirmed, validated. Let's try. I own my home and would like a loan.
Accepted-ated.
Alpine Credits, where homeowners get endorsed, confirmed, permitted, allowed, okayed, and approved. Some conditions apply. Alpine Credits.
FSRA License 12616.
This hour was brought to you by Alpine Credits. Do you own your home and need a loan? Alpine Credits can help. Visit alpinecredits.ca to learn more.